I feel like I'm really... Hello. Good morning. Welcome to church. The lights come on. Listen, it is amazing to see all of you in the building. I can tell that more and more people are starting to feel comfortable to come back to the building. So thank you for being here and walking through the doors. It's awesome. I love that families are comfortable bringing their children into the auditorium. We love that. We embrace that. We love you and your family. Amen. So I'm glad just to see people of every age in the room. So it's just an awesome opportunity to see you with your little ones here. We do hope to reopen our kids' ministry. Our target date right now is September the 6th. If everything stays on course, we will get that done. I also want to welcome everybody who is watching from church online. First of all, if you're not comfortable coming to the building, we respect that. Completely. We understand. And then we also know that there is a lot of you that just can't do it. So you can't come here for various reasons. And then we're learning that there are more and more people watching that don't even live in our city or state, and some of you not even in our country. And so I just want to welcome all of you, no matter where you are or how you got connected to us. We consider you family, and we just welcome you here. Come on, church, would you just give it up for those? It's awesome to have you. It really is. So I just feel like, I really feel like there's just sort of an anointing in this room, like a presence from God. I'm very much excited about that. I feel like our praise team just did a remarkable job of just sort of bringing us into the presence. Loved the news video and the interview with Josh and Eileen, and just the way that that they view life, and that they say, look, we don't have it all together, but we just love serving people, and we're all about being genuine and authentic. And really, it's just a great picture of what life in community actually looks like. And so I think that there are people that oftentimes feel a sense of intimidation about church and the organization of church, and maybe you try to disqualify yourself because you're like, well, I don't know, I'm just not spiritual enough, or I don't know enough about the Bible or whatever it is, and I just want to just kind of put you at ease and be like, look, you fit right in with us because we don't know everything either. We don't have it all together either, but we all are pursuing the same perfect, loving God together as a family. And so I just want to welcome you to the community, however you can get connected. I'm actually going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, but I want to do something that I didn't do last week because I was so focused on transitioning well, I'm just going to be real honest with you, that I forgot, but I had done it in prior weeks and like it. And I just want to ask you if you would to stand with me, even in your homes or wherever you may be watching, would you just kind of set down the ex Benedict for a second, put the coffee to the side, and just stand with us just for a moment. I just want to go to God in prayer. We're in a season of 21 days of prayer in our church right now. We are calling on God. And all last week, we, in a unified way as a church family, said, God, would you please speak to us? We want to hear from you. We've been meeting each night at 6 p.m. in our prayer services. It's been amazing. And so I just want to start today with just prayer, just inviting God in, because like I said a moment ago, I just feel like there's something happening in this moment. There's a moment. And I just want to make sure that I get out of the way and I just let God do what God wants to do. Amen. So, Father, we come before you as a family. God, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have to worship you openly, God, and just to boldly express our faith in the ways that we do. We recognize, God, there are so many people around the world that do not have the luxuries and the privileges that we do. So this morning, as we openly walk into church buildings and put church on our TVs or our devices, God, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to do that without fear of persecution, without fear of our lives, fear of imprisonment. We just take a moment and just say thank you. What a privilege it is. We recognize that. And so, God, we just honor you in that moment. And then, God, in this moment, we just want to invite you in. God, we just intentionally posture ourselves for you to speak, for you to move. God, we ask you to have your way in us. Father, we are not here to be entertained. We are not here, Lord God, to hear a great song or a flashy sermon. God, we are here to hear from you. So we ask today, Father, that you would speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated all across the auditorium in your homes. Thank you so much for doing that with me. So I want to get into part number two of this series that we're in called Dangerous Prayers. And right out of the gate, I just want to give honor where honor is due. I want to thank Life Church and Pastor Craig Rochelle for producing this amazing content. Some people say that I should not do this. Like, hey, man, don't do all that. We don't need to know where it came from. But I would hate for anybody to think that I am trying to take this as my own. I am a student. I'm being taught. I have pastors and I have heroes and I have mentors. And Pastor Craig is one of those. Life Church has been remarkably helpful to our church along with thousands of others worldwide. And so we're in a series called Dangerous Prayers. It's named after a series that they did. It's named after a book that Pastor Craig wrote and released earlier this year. And it is this idea that sometimes we get a little safe in our faith. We just get a little safe. And I don't know about you, I'll only speak for myself, but I have this tendency to just drift toward comfort all the time. I want to be comfortable. I want things to be easy. I want things to work. I want stuff to go well. I push away from pain. I resist things that make me uncomfortable. And what happens if I'm not careful is I tend to just drift into a real place of mediocrity, right? And just the place where really I'm not really chasing after God's heart. I'm probably more chasing after his benefits. Come on, I think I'm preaching already. And I just know that I have to check myself all the time, all the time. It's a regular thing. I've got to check myself and say, God, please put me into the place that you want me to be. Please help me to walk in your truth. And if it makes me uncomfortable, if it means that I have a loss, if it means that things don't work out, if it means that I don't get what I want, then Father, would you please just help me to just be in your perfect will and to be in your perfect place, which means that when I'm communicating to God, I should communicate in those ways. And so I want to find myself praying less about God, protect me, bless me, help me, do for me. Nothing wrong with those prayers because I believe that God wants to help you. I believe he wants to protect you, and I know that he's always with you. And so those prayers are fine, but I need to make sure that I'm calling on God in a way that's saying, God, I'm just chasing your heart, and I'm willing to do whatever it is that you call me to do. And so the idea is that we want to start praying some dangerous prayers because, listen to me carefully, following Jesus was never meant to be safe. Never. And so let's look at a second dangerous prayer. Last week, we talked about this prayer, God, speak to me. And we want to hear from you. What would you say to our hearts, to our lives, to our situations? God, would you speak to us? I love this promise. It's where we've started each week. It's a promise from Jeremiah that comes to you. This is the voice of the Lord. And he says this, call to me. And what happens? I will answer you. This is God's promise. He's saying, if you call to me, I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Today, we're going to go into a different dangerous prayer. Last week, it was speak to me, and I think it connects very, very closely to today's dangerous prayer. Today's prayer is a prayer of availability. God, I'm available. I want to do for you, so speak to me so that I can have your heart, so that I can get your character, so that I can align my life with your will and your plan and your purpose. And then today's dangerous prayer, everybody, is the prayer that says, God, would you send me? I'm asking you, Lord God, to send me where you want me to go. And we're going to look at some reasons why this is actually a very dangerous prayer. I don't know if you've ever prayed the prayer, send me. I don't know if you've ever had an experience or a moment where God has kind of called you out and said, I want you to go and do something. Maybe it was a job change for you that God said, I'm actually going to send you to a different workplace. I'm going to send you into a new atmosphere. Maybe it was God calling you to go get a certain type of an education. I'm going to send you, and I want you to acquire a certain knowledge because there's a field that I want you to go into. Maybe it was you expressing your faith in a more public way. God was sending you to say something on social media about your faith in Jesus, and you just knew that if you did that, you were going to get some criticisms and some comments and maybe some backlash on that, but you just felt God was sending you to do it. Maybe God sent you at one point in your life to maybe witness to someone. Maybe it was a boss who you find to be very intimidating, and it was hard for you, but it stretched you outside of your comfort zone because you just felt God was saying, I'm sending you to just present the gospel to this person. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but It's pretty radical and it's pretty amazing. If you're like me at all, I've certainly had moments where I've asked God to send me and use me, and then he will give me a mission and I will ignore him. Come on. Yeah. I hope I'm not the only one, because I know that I've had moments in my life where I could very strongly sense God trying to send me, but I was not being obedient to his voice. And there's biblical examples of people who would do just this. We're going to look at a couple today. We're not going to go to the scripture. I'm just going to talk to you about them. And if you don't really know the Bible well and don't know some of these Bible characters, it's perfectly fine. Just follow along with me. It will not hinder you at all from receiving what I feel like God has for you today. There's a couple of examples we could talk about. If you grew up in church, Sunday school, anything like that, you would probably be familiar with the story of Moses. Moses was raised up in Egypt, and there's this moment where he has these inner convictions going on, and some things are changing, and then he finds himself on the backside of a wilderness somewhere, and he's sort of doing this his own thing, and it's new for him. And the voice of the Lord would come to Moses, and he would say, Moses, I want you to actually go back to Egypt, where I called, where you were raised and where you lived, but I'm calling you and I'm sending you to go back with a message to Pharaoh. I want you to tell him to let my people go. And what did Moses do? If you know the story, Moses was like, I'm not smart enough. I don't talk good. He said it like that. In Hebrew. That was funny. And he made these excuses. Maybe you could send someone else. I don't think I'm the best candidate for the job. I have all these deficiencies and problems. I don't know if you should send me, God. I actually think that you drew the wrong number. I'm not the one. Moses had a heart that said, send someone else. Send someone else. Another example in the Bible is Jonah. A lot of people are nodding their heads. Perhaps a familiar story to you as well, but Jonah was a guy that God called and said, hey, I have a message. I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to tell some people some pretty tough things. And then Jonah's response was simply, I'm not doing that. And he just ran the other direction. And we all know the story. He tried to go fishing. It didn't turn out good for him, right? His response was, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. I know that I've been both of those. I've been Moses, I've been Jonah in figurative ways. I've said, God, I hear you, you're calling me, I'm not going to do it. And then I have felt called and sent by God in spaces and time, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure you have the wrong guy. I want to look at a different example from the Bible today, though. Someone by the name of Isaiah. And Isaiah had an unbelievable encounter with God. And if you read the Bible at all, great book, by the way. Really encourage you to pick it up and give it a try. If you read through the Bible at all, you'll find that when people have encounters with God, it's often unusual. Like there's like some strange things that happen. If you've ever had an encounter with God, like you've really had some major experience with him, you would probably, if you were to tell this story, would be like, it was just different. It was weird. Because God just operates outside of our time and space and way of thinking. He's not trying to fit his call into our culture. He's just trying to awaken people to who he is and his realness. And so God has this moment with Isaiah, and I want to take you to it. We're going to read the story, and then we're going to dig in to the story a little bit, because Isaiah is the one that gives us our dangerous prayer. And we find it in the sixth chapter of his book. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. And by the way, there's going to be all kind of like unique things within the text today that we're not even going to get into. We're going to focus on only the things that are going to matter for us today. So in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, and he was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, which are angels, each having six wings. Can you kind of see the oddness, right? Like this encounter with God, it's not all that normal. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two wings, they covered their feet. And everybody said, thank God for that. I don't like feet at all. And with two wings, that's a little sidetracked there. Probably shouldn't have pulled us off topic. And with two wings, they flew. And so these six-winged angels two wings covering their faces, to their feet, and with two they are flying. And they were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's army." It's a beautiful scene. "And the whole earth is filled with his glory. And their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. And then I said, it is all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burnt coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And he touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." It's a pretty amazing moment. Isaiah has an incredible experience, an incredible encounter with God. And God kind of opens his eyes to see some things, some spiritual things, angels and their what they looked like and what they declare. And then this moment that an angel would take a coal from the altar with a pair of tongs and fly over to Isaiah and touch his lips, and just this amazing moment where clearly Isaiah is being changed. Something is moving on the inside of Isaiah. And then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to his people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am." I'd love for everybody to say it with me. "Send me. Send me. Here I am. Send me." Come on, work with me. Amen. This is a dangerous prayer. But I want you to recognize the heart of Isaiah, because Isaiah had this heart where he didn't hear God say, "I need you to go to a specific location. It's going to look like this. You're going to check in at this hotel with this room. I'm going to compensate you in these ways. You're going to get a per diem each day, so you get three meals. Don't worry about that." Like, he didn't detail where he was going, what he was doing. All God said is, "I need a voice that will go to people and declare to them what I'm trying to say." Isaiah had such an experience and a moment with God. Something had changed so deeply on the inside of him that he just steps up and says, "I'm here. I'll do it. Send me." And God would use Isaiah in some absolutely remarkable ways. I actually think that so far, probably in your minds, you're thinking, "I don't see how this is such a dangerous prayer. I want to do things for God. I'm trying to discover my purpose. You say it all the time, Pastor, that you were made on purpose and for a purpose, and you encourage us to discover that purpose. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to get to that point because I want God to use me, and I want to make a difference in people's lives, and I want to have a sense of fulfillment and passion and focus and vision. I want all these things. I'm not quite sure how this is such a dangerous prayer." And here's what I would just say to any of you who might be asking that question. The reason that the prayer, "Send me," is so dangerous is because when we get called by God and given a mission by God, we hit the radar of the enemy. I'm not trying to weird you out. I'm just trying to help you. There are two very real sides in the spiritual realm. There is good and there is evil. And when God's people start to make wake in the water and we start moving toward purpose and we start shaking things up in the spiritual realms, the Bible calls it the heavenly realms. When we start doing for God and moving for God and advancing his purpose and his kingdom, we instantly come up on the radar screen of our adversary, Satan, who is as real as God is, who will fight against you as strongly as he can to pull you off task, pull you off mission, and get you to be more like Moses or more like Jonah. Never mind. I thought, God, that when you sent me, that it would be awesome the whole time. And I thought that if you would use me, that I would have like some sort of spiritual superpower, and I would have like this sort of cape thing, and I would wake up every day with motivation and enthusiasm and excitement, and God, that you would just open doors for me, and I would just witness to some guy at a restaurant, and he would just fall to his knees and just surrender his life to Christ, and I would go to my life group and tell them how amazing it was. I just thought that's what was going to happen, but I woke up tired. I got demoted at my job. I don't really understand why when I tried to express my faith in Christ at the coffee shop that the guy told me that I was a complete idiot and to get out of his face. And God, I thought I had a purpose. I thought you were calling me to something. And I'm saying, God, send me. But all of a sudden, I've got all this adversity. Can I express something to you? It's because you have an enemy that is going to fight against what God is sending you to do. And I would be remiss completely as a pastor, as a leader, as a preacher, not to say to you that if you pray this prayer, that you're going to see the enemy fight against your calling. In a very aggressive way. And so the prayer, send me, is rather dangerous because God does have a mission for you. He does have a call for you. And in that call, you will win. And in that call, you will find energy, purpose, and passion, and fulfillment. Let me explain something to you. Everything worth doing is uphill. It is a climb. It is hard. Can I get as close to you as possible? It will cost you. And so for me to pray, God, would you send me? It's dangerous. So here's the question. What would make Isaiah get into a posture where he had that kind of willingness to pray that kind of prayer? What was different about Isaiah than Moses or Jonah or other examples that we could find? What was it about him that made him say, here I am, send me? Let's look at him. We're going to pull him right out of the text. Number one, if you're a note taker, I'm going to give you some things to write today. I'm going to preach a little bit today in the 19 minutes and 44 seconds I have remaining. Listen, Isaiah had a genuine experience with the presence of God. He had an experience in God's presence. He felt God's power. He saw God's hand. He heard God's voice. Look what he says. He says, it was in the year of King Uzziah, the year that he died, that I saw the Lord. I saw him. I had an encounter with him. I'm going to back up in case you're a note taker. He had a genuine experience in the presence of God. Can I have your permission to preach a minute? I want to say some things. It's dangerous. Now let me contextualize what I'm about to say, okay? If you know me, you would say amen to what I'm about to say. If you've been around me, you would say, yes, this is true. I am an unbelievably, annoyingly systematic thinker. I like systems. I like routine. I like pattern. I like predictability. I like rhythm. This is who I am. I just find myself in it. I like to wake up at the same time. I like to have the same morning flow. I need a Monday to look like Mondays are supposed to look and Tuesdays to be like Tuesdays are supposed to be. And I don't really want it to change. I don't need like the spontaneity. I don't really need like the, oh, I just decided to go to the beach. That's not who I am. It's not me. I just like, only my deer hunters are going to appreciate what I'm about to say, but if I was a mature buck, I'd be the easiest one to kill. You can just find my pattern, set up, game over. Okay. But if we're not careful, which by the way, let me say one more thing. I believe, this is for every leader listening that has a heart to grow in leadership, I believe that systems deliver vision. Okay. So for us at Church on the Rock, we do four things. That's what we do. We do weekend services. We do life groups. We do all access. We do dream team. Everything we do funnels under those four things. Systems deliver vision. So what does that mean? That's how we help people know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Okay? Now, I mentioned a moment ago I had 19 minutes and something seconds to preach, and that's only because we have a second service coming. And I'm not saying that systems are bad. I'm not saying that predictability is bad. I'm not saying that running a certain play and having a certain pattern is bad. What I'm saying is if we put the systems higher than the spontaneity, the power of our God to wreck our stupid plans and blow up our service schedules and change our agendas and move our Monday outside of what a Monday should be, if that goes above the openness for God to do what God wants to do in our lives, then I don't think we'll ever see the Lord. And so it's important that I find ways to experience his presence. Now, I can tell you story after story after story of how God, I've had experiences with his presence. I can tell you about the time that I was 13 years old. I had my very first revelation. Just reading my Bible like a good Christian boy should do. Changed me forever. God totally tricked me. It's how I became a preacher. I promise you. I cannot wait to see the Father face to face. And after he does all that he wants to do with me, I'm going to be like, that was a good one. You got me there. I'll never forget experiences that I've had in the presence of God where the power of God was so physically thick I could not stand. Like, it's not that I wanted to kneel, it's that I couldn't even stand on my feet because his power was so strong and overwhelming that I had to just lay on the floor. I've had prophetic words spoken into my life from people that had heard from God, and they would say, I believe that God is calling you to do this, and I see this in you, and they would declare things into my life and speak into me, and I've experienced the presence of God. I've been in his presence, and I'm telling you, when you get into the presence of the Almighty, it changes things on the inside. It's like a surgery in a spiritual way where I think he just aligns things and he's put some stuff together, and I'm gonna wire you this way, and we're gonna switch this, and all of a sudden it's like this divine intervention happens deep within the soul and the spirit that says, now when you leave this moment, you're not gonna be the same. Listen to me, you need to create space. Find ways to have the presence of God alive in your life. Which is why I'm going to preach, ask for your permission, which is why some of you, listen very carefully, you need to stop making church an option. It needs to become a priority. Amen. Not because we're religious and we're buying into a system, but because it's a place where the presence of God is cultivated. Yes. This is why some of you need to stop making excuses about why you're not in a life group. So you're busy, so are they. You got a lot going on, so do they. You're stressed, so are they. You have issues, so do they. Amen. You're fearful about what could be exposed, so are they. Yeah. And it's important that I get into an atmosphere where I can experience the presence of God. God, I need your presence to move in me and to change me. God, I need to have a moment where I see the Lord. And then after I have that moment, I need to have another moment where I see the Lord. And another moment, and another moment, and another moment. I'm just saying, church, some of you, it's just time. It's just time. Yeah, man, I just need to get on a team and serve. I just need to get into a life group and be open and transparent. I just need to get into all access and find out if this is my church or not. I need to show up to church service. I need to come to prayer. I need to go to life group leader training. I don't know what your next step is, but some of us don't know how to cultivate a experience with God in our own time. So let other people teach you so that you can have that happening in your everyday life, even by yourself. Church people call it quiet time. You just have quiet time with God. That's the time where we cultivate our closeness with God. We experience his presence. We need it. We need it. Isaiah, he saw the Lord, and because he saw the Lord, it changed something on the inside. What else happened? Second thing that happened is that he had a genuine awareness of his sinfulness. Like, I don't have this all together. You and me, we need to maintain a very genuine awareness of how sinful we can be. Watch what he says. Watch what happens. Then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed because I'm a sinful man. I've got filthy lips and I live among people with filthy lips. And here's what happens. When we see the Lord, we become increasingly aware of our deficiencies. This is why when God would say, I want to send you, you would say, wrong guy. I'm not your girl. I'm sorry. Like it's, I don't, because we become more aware of our inadequacies and our problems and the deficiencies of our lives. This is why we would say, I'm not doing it because I don't have it. I don't have what I need. I cannot do that. But Isaiah became increasingly aware of his sinful nature. He was genuinely aware. Here's what I want to say to us all. Listen to me. I think it'll set some people free. That it's just okay. It is okay. It is okay not to be okay. Okay, so what? So you have some sin in your life. Okay, so do I. So you have issues and things that you're trying to... Well, geez, me too. And it's okay for us to have a genuine awareness of that. Now, you already gave me permission to preach. Can I have it on point two?
Yes.
I'm going to get on a soapbox a second, okay? But I'm going to preach for some people need this. I've noticed, I don't think I've ever talked about this on a Sunday morning before. I notice some things. I watch patterns. I like it. And I watch patterns and I love people, so I try to learn people. And the more that I can become aware of patterns and people, the better I can lead people. The better I can pastor people, the better I can help you take steps in your journey of faith. And I noticed some things, and here's what I've noticed. You guys see me do this all the time. If you're listening to the podcast, forgive me. I've got my hands apart. And you guys see me do this all the time. I talk about the journey of faith. I talk about those that like have just started the journey, and you're over here, and you're young. And then I talk about those that are like, you've been on the journey for a while, and you're more mature, and you might know the Bible stories. And, you know, if we had like a race to like find, you know, Galatians chapter 1, you'd beat this person because they don't even like... Right? Just more experience. And there are people. But I've recognized this thing, and it inevitably starts to happen in the lives of all of us if we're not careful. I've noticed this thing where people tend to get this, they'll have this moment with God. They've seen the Lord, they've had an experience with Him. His power has changed them. And then their hunger for God is increasing, and they're feeding it all that they can, and they're taking it all in, and they're so young, and they're so humble, and they're so hungry. Just give me anything about God, I'll just take it all, take it all, take it all. And then something starts to happen. Start to learn a couple Bible stories, memorize us a couple scriptures, start to find ourselves losing some sinful nature, and overcoming some temptation, and if we are not careful, pride begins to swell up in our spiritual chest, and all of a sudden we start to think, yeah, I got this thing, I'm starting to figure this out. Pastor Josh talked about Jonah, I know who that is, and we got, like, whatever it is, we got this thing, and it starts to build, and if we are not careful, what starts to happen is that we start to see ourselves as better than others. We will lose our awareness of our sinful nature. And then all of a sudden, we start to stand on the wrong kinds of things. And so I'm going to make some declarations that the Bible, the Holy Bible, is the living, breathing word of our God. It is good today like it was good then. It is truth now like it is truth then. And it is very clear about a lot of things that we can boldly stand on and boldly proclaim. And then there's all kinds of other things that are like, well, I don't know. I could take these verses and really make a case, but I could take these verses and make the opposite case and all this stuff. And what tends to happen, this is where I think Satan's so tricky, is what tends to happen is we start taking hard stances on the minors instead of the majors. like the clear things. And what happens is if we're not careful in our pride, our flesh will rise up and start to compete with what God's doing in our spirit. And then all of a sudden we start to see ourselves better than you because we forget that we are genuinely sinful. We forget about it. And so now my sins are small and your sins are not so small. Do you see? If you've ever been guilty of that, would you join me by saying, amen. Amen. I've been that human. I've been that guy. And you know what? I've got to constantly fight against the reality that I think I'm something that I'm not. No, I have a genuine awareness that I'm sinful. I do not have it all together. My title doesn't make me human or not human. Like, I don't get some hall pass from God that, oh, you've been graduated into a spiritual level of maturity, and all of a sudden now you're super holy. Like, what? No. Like, I'm super normal. Yeah. That might be debatable, but you get it. There's a third thing, though. There's a third thing that Isaiah experienced, and it was a genuine understanding of God's grace. He has this genuine experience in God's presence. God is doing things in his life. He maintains this genuine awareness of his sinful nature that I'm unclean. I've got issues. I'm so sinful. But he's very aware of God's grace. He has a genuine understanding of God's grace. Watch what he says. Then one of these seraphim flew to me with a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs, and he touched my lips with it and said, see, the coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. I love it. There are some of you today who just don't think that's possible for you. Can I tell you something? You're wrong. You are wrong. Because the blood of Jesus, the coal is just a representation. It's a picture of the blood of Jesus. And here's what the blood of Jesus does, okay? It does not cover our sin. It does not adjust our sin. Can I tell you what the blood of Jesus does? It takes our sin away. Amen. Away. As far as the east is from the west. So far, has he taken our sins from us? Listen to me very carefully. Somebody needs this so desperately. Over and over and over. Over and over and over. You've just disqualified yourself from any experience with God because you started with an awareness of your sin. Today, you need an awareness of his grace. It is for you. It is for you. It is for me. And not only will God give us grace to forgive our sin, pardon our sin, wash our sins away, take it away. This is the beauty of who Jesus is. Because in the Old Testament, when they would put an animal on the altar, it would cover their sin. But when the spotless lamb was sacrificed, the blood did a different thing. It just purifies, takes us away, takes it completely away. And some of you just need to maintain an awareness. You need to become aware, perhaps, of his grace for you, his love for you. You keep disqualifying yourself, and he keeps saying, come on, come. Oh, I worship you. I don't want to entertain you, you know, with interesting speeches. Oh, man, I want so much to just be a voice from the Father to you. And look, I know that a lot of you know Jesus and walk with him and you serve and you make a difference with us. And I can't tell you how much I love you. I can't. I wish I could express it better, and how meaningful this church family is to my life. But my deepest hope and prayer, truly, is that somebody is on the other side of that camera somewhere at some point, or sitting in one of the rows in this room at this point, and you've just never given your life to Jesus. But today, I want you to see the Lord. I want you to see the Lord. You're aware of your sin. But today, I want you to have an experience with Him. Today, I want you to become genuinely aware of His grace for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're watching online or listening online, I want to ask you to just lean in right here, particularly if that's you. Listen to me. All I want to do is invite you into the greatest journey you'll ever take. That's it. And I want to ask you just to open up your heart a little bit. And what I want you to not do is disqualify yourself. What I want you to not do is question whether God is for you or that He is real. I just, one thing. I just want you to open up your heart and say, okay, God, I'm going to let you in. Because today, I've seen the Lord. And so what we do at our church, and some of you may tune in and know this or be a part of the church even and know this, but what we do is we just say a simple prayer. There is nothing special, quite honestly, about this prayer. It's just a prayer. What's special is what happens in that prayer, because the Bible says that if we would believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. And so this prayer is just to help you to do those things. The belief in your heart, that's you. That's you. I actually think that you're already there in this moment. I just want to help you with the words. It's the confession of the mouth that I want to guide you in. So every head bowed in the auditorium, nobody looking around. Those of you sitting at home, driving in your car, wherever it is that you're doing, wherever you're listening and hearing this from, I want to lead you in this prayer. This is your day. This is your moment. Today, you've seen the Lord. So I want to invite you to say this prayer with me. I want you to say, dear Jesus. Come on, church family. Y'all know how we do it. I'm asking everybody to say it with me. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am, it is yours in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Would you just give it up for those that said that prayer? I want to take just a quick second. I know that you're going to hear this in the news following what I'm about to say, but I want to take one quick second. And I want to first congratulate those of you that said that prayer. And then secondly, I want to ask you very emphatically to please fill out our digital connection card. Please follow up with us. Let us know the decision that you've made. And here's why. Because we want to help you to grow. Congratulations. I love you so much. Let's check out the news.
Amen, amen, amen. Church, would you give it up one more time for those who...